The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville. 7:45, we have our touchdown parlay. 8 o'clock Fridays with Feinstein. We'll give you our picks on the Commanders game later in the show. But right now, time to hit the skins. It's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need the skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies to get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great.
All right, guys, it's a massive one. Massive one with the Cowboys this week. I know you think this should be a walk in the park. I don't think it's going to be. It's division rival. The Cowboys are banged up. They're reeling. But as JP mentioned, you saw what happened last night in that Browns-Steelers game. Everybody just sort of assumed the Steelers would take care of business. And boom, end up on the wrong side of it. We have some audio. Let's start with Dan Quinn. Let's go to the head coach, DQ Valdez. Everybody wants to know what's the status of Marshon Lattimore, their newly acquired DB.
And then, I know we ask you about Marshon every time, so I'll just give, but what,
sure, yeah.
What is he, what do you
consistent.
What do you anticipate him being able to do today and then maybe this week?
He'll work off to the side today, so had a speed day over the weekend, more strength than that today, so work to the side, and then we'll see what tomorrow looks like if we're able to work him into, you know, some of the practices. But I'll have a better sense probably tomorrow afternoon, then into Friday, where we'll go, but he'll work off to the side today.
All right, so that's from Wednesday. I remember seeing that. That's from Wednesday. Here's what he's asked about what he wants to see from Jaden down the stretch.
And you said this week that because Jaden was, you know, banged up, he didn't get a chance to practice as much. What do you want to see from him now down this stretch?
Back to playing the position with all the reps with the guys. And so that's a big deal, Chick, to make sure the throws, the different types, the movements out of the pocket, the runs, all of the things that when he plays quarterback, that's unique. And that's all the things that we have to practice outside the pocket, remaining a passer, down the field. And so you can script some of those, work some of those at the line, but I think just getting the timing really concise, that's a big deal for us.
Yeah, so we're going to play this. This is clips from Cliff, probably from yesterday, I'm assuming. Yeah, because I listened to this as I was driving in this morning. And just I don't know if this is exactly the clip, but Cliff, basically, you can read between the lines that these last 3 or 4 weeks, they've not had regular practices. They've definitely been working around Jaden's injury, trying to, you know, keep him up to speed and healthy. and not exacerbate anything, limit them a little bit. And then you have the condensed schedule, right, of the two games that they had, where they had to play Sunday, then Thursday. And so this little mini bye of the last 10 days or so has finally enabled them to get back into the basics. And I think you might hear this in this clip where they talk about, you know, getting back to the basics. Footwork. That's one thing that's jumped out at me, right? You guys have saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden, like, falling backwards. It just didn't seem like he was as crisp these last few weeks. Here's Cliff.
Yeah, I think you just get back to the basics, the fundamentals, and really hone in on those. I think anytime you have a couple games that, you know, aren't to maybe the level we all want to be at, you narrow the focus, and it's like, hey, let's nail the footwork, let's nail the reads, progressions, the base stuff, and start there. And he's a guy who, when he is working at it, he works really hard. He's very focused, and so this week has been good to see him back out there going full speed and getting the reps that I think will help us play at a higher level.
Right,
going full speed, that catches my ringing ears.
So you read between the lines there. I mean, it's fairly obvious that he hasn't been able to practice sort of at full speed, do everything that he was doing prior to that injury. So I am expecting Jaden to have a bounce back performance, although I am nervous about a guy like Micah Parsons, who I think is an elite defender.
Let's also get back to the targets when Terry had 10 against Arizona. He had 8 mm-hmm. targets in the Cleveland game. He had 7 targets in the Baltimore game. In his last 3 games, he's had 2, 6, and 3 targets.
Right.
It's just not. It's simply not enough. Now, when he had 6 targets, not surprisingly, he had 5 catches for 113 yards. Please give him 8 to 10 targets every single game.
Is that one against the Ravens?
That game was against
or not the Ravens.
That was a Steelers game.
The Steelers game.
Yeah. Please find a way to consistently get him 8 to 10 targets every single game.
And let's not make it all just like these little, like screen passes. Like, let him run some patterns and let's throw the ball downfield a little bit.
Of course.
I hate all this like bubble screen stuff that just gets tackled for 1 yard. I hate that stuff.
Part of their offense, though.
I know, but let's not make it a feature.
They're one of the top 3 teams in the league. For screens and passes.
I don't mind the screens of the running backs. I don't like the wide receiver bubble screens. I just think that they're rarely successful. But these guys know football way more than me, so I defer to them.
Do you give Quinn and Joe Witt a big-time competitive advantage facing their former team?
I don't know.
This is a major revenge game, Cakes. You've got Dan Quinn, who was defensive coordinator there last season. Mm-hmm. You have Joe Witt, who was underneath him. You've got Dorrance Armstrong, the defensive end. You've got Dante Fowler Jr., who's mm-hmm. having a good year.
Biotish.
Defensive end. Biotish. I mean, it's a big-time revenge
Brown.
Game.
Yep. Noah Brown, a former Cowboy.
That's right. That's true.
No, yeah, there's a bunch of them. And it's interesting, Joe Witt talked about how, you know, he's worked with Mike McCarthy, I don't know, man, maybe a long time, because he worked with him for 3 years in Green Bay, too. And you want to talk about a guy that's prepared. Maybe this is how everybody is in the NFL, but he's got notes from sort of every meeting he's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about...
Handwritten?
Yeah, sound like it.
Really? It's
handwritten, typed up, whatever it is.
Okay.
It sounds like he reviews his notes when he had to make sure, like, whatever he's telling them, he could counter. And he talks about sort of the chess match between these guys. He knows what... You know, these coordinators might call, and what he's called, he gave an example of a San Francisco game where he ran a certain blitz, and he knew they were going to be expecting that blitz, but he ran it differently.
Right.
So, you know, there's definitely going to be a chess match going on between those guys. As JP mentioned, a bunch of them coming back in that, I guess, Cakes revenge game that he likes to talk about.
Cowboys get Brandon Cooks back at wide receiver. That's going to help them because they've been pretty much CeeDee Lamb, and you really don't even look at anybody else in terms of wide receivers.
Right.
I'm not saying Brandon Cooks is Justin Jefferson, but he's had 1,000-yard seasons in the league.
I mean, they've had to rely on guys like Jalen Tolbert at wide out. I mean, they were leaning on Jake Ferguson at tight end, but he's banged up. Like, the Cowboys have a lot of offensive deficiencies.
I don't remember what they traded for, is, but like Zach Martin, I believe, mm-hmm. was knocked out of the game, didn't return.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know what his status is. I'll have to
look at their injury report.
He's probably doubtful, or I guess did they take doubtful out?
No, doubtful's still in the mix.
Doubtful's in.
They took probable out.
They took
the
probable
injury
out.
Report.
Brandon Cooks has had 6 1,000-yard seasons now. He hasn't had one in a couple of seasons, but
you got to count.
That's gonna help them offensively. It's funny though. They traded for before the deadline. Is it Jonathan Mingo?
Yes, correct. From the Carolina Panthers,
wide receiver, to try and bolster that wide receiving core. I think last week against Houston, he had zero catches and zero targets.
Well, they gave up a fourth-round pick for him.
Right.
So that sounds like a Jerry Jones type of personnel move. Also, this is kind of interesting, too. CeeDee Lamb didn't practice yesterday. Mm. And
that would be wonderful.
We're to the point
in that would be wonderful.
When a season has unraveled to this point like it has for the Cowboys, if CeeDee Lamb is like borderline, do you think he's really going to make an effort to get out on the field if he's not close to 100%? Now, if the Cowboys were contending for a playoff spot, like if something is bothering him and he feels like he can play through it, he's probably going to be out there. But if the season is just slipping away, like some of these star players might just be like, you know what? I might have to make a business decision here. Do I really want to go out and make this injury worse going forward? Now, he's G'd up. He got his big fat deal in the offseason, so he's already got his money. But missing practice on a Thursday is generally not a good sign. Now, he might be out there today, which would bode well for him playing. But look for that to happen potentially, too, for the Bengals, with both of those guys at the wideout spot having murky contract situations. Like, if they lose another game, they might not be playing either down the stretch.
One thing Joe Witt said about CD and how much respect he had for him and how much he liked him was that not only was the talent jump off the page and he could play any position,
mm-hmm.
he's got a quickness to play slot if he needed to, can run any route.
They mix him into the backfield, too.
They mix him into the backfield because when he has the ball in his hands, he's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
He also took such an interest and was such sort of a student of the game. He would sit in on defensive meetings.
Right.
Like, that's how dedicated CeeDee Lamb is to the game.
Hmm. Of course, he was at the club after the loss.
Well,
cutting a rap video. Is that what he was doing?
He was filming a video with Trayvon Diggs.
Right. Of course, the game is 1 o'clock, Cakes, at Northwest Stadium, which people tell me is in Landover.
It is in Landover.
I would think maybe it would be, you know, I don't know, Oregon or something.
It'd be formerly Raljohn.
Yeah, Raljohn. That's what it used to be called. Northwest Stadium. I hate that name. Joe Davis will be doing play-by-play. Whenever I think of Joe Davis, who do I think of, Cakes?
You think of Stephen Davis.
Yes. I don't know why.
Because Brett, here's the backstory.
Yeah.
Didn't Brett like go over to his house mm-hmm. and or
he followed him one time.
He followed him home.
I think Brett was out at like Shark Club or someplace
right.
in Virginia, and he went up and asked Stephen Davis. He's like, "Are you Stephen Davis?" And Stephen Davis' response, I believe, was, "No, my name's Joe." I think that's the way the story
right, I
went.
Think you're
but
right.
I could be wrong on that.
But
who's the guy he knocked on the door?
It was also Stephen Davis.
It was Stephen Davis, and the wife answered.
Said he was pooping.
She said he's taking a dump.
Yes, that is correct. It's good recall.
Joe Davis, the announcer, is one of the silliest ones out there. He's the Dodgers announcer. If you remember when Otani was hitting 50-50,
okay.
those calls, he's the one who was doing those.
Yeah, it's a new name to me. I'm not super mm-hmm. familiar with him. Greg Olson's the analyst. Of course, they'll still have Pam Oliver on the sideline for
Greg Olson's so bitter. He definitely has a big Tom Brady voodoo doll at his house. He just pushes pins in it all the time. Taking his number one gig.
Cakes, I'll just give you a little background on this. Do you want to care to guess? They've played 65 games at home lifetime against the Cowboys.
Okay.
All right. How have we fared lifetime against the Cowboys out of 65 games?
65. So now I have to
EB.
Radio math.
I'll go 30-35.
You nailed it. 30-35. That's pretty good, JP. Last season, of course, Washington went 0-2. Red flag for everybody just assuming it's going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah, but that Cowboys team was good last year.
Where
they finished with 12 wins? They won the division.
With a win, the Commanders would move to 8-4, which would be their best record through 12 games in 28 years.
Wow.
If they win this game this week, were their, last time I checked, 10-point favorites.
10.5.
10.5 now.
Yep.
They would have their best record in 28 years.
Since we were doing weekend radio.
When you when you look at the sort of the statistics, just kind of focus. I mean, there's several areas where Washington is pretty highly ranked, like top 10, top 5. In total offense, Washington 6th, averaging 366 yards per game. Pretty darn good. Scoring offense, we're 4th. We've dipped to 28. I think at one point we were close to 31 points per game. Last two efforts, or certainly last week, hurt it. Rushing offense, 6th, Cakes. This team is averaging 148 yards per game on the ground. They need to get back to that. Third down offense, they're 8th. A lot of passing defense. So a lot of people are on these corners. Joe Witt said, made a point of saying in his press conference that he exposed his corners last week, that they got beat on the ground, and it wasn't because they were helping out the secondary.
He
was calling run blitzes, and Saquon just ripped off some big ones there late.
I expected A.J. Brown to have a big day, Devontae Smith to have a big day, and for the most part, they did a really good job
on
the Eagles' receivers.
Sanistrill, even St. Juiced, and Mike Davis. He said all those guys played very, very well. The Commanders are 8th in sacks, Cakes. So everybody talks about we need more pass rush. They got 29 sacks. A lot of that's because of Dante Fowler Jr., what he's been able to do. Joe Witt also said, you know what he credits Dante Fowler's for kind of having a revitalized season this year? He's always been quick and with great bend around the corner.
He's got
but
the
it's
lead.
Been finishing that's been his issue. And he said, Ryan Kerrigan has been huge with that.
Coach
and
Kerrigan.
That's what Kerrigan has been focusing on, is closing the deal. Fowler's got that get off and the bend to get around guys, but he hasn't been able to finish. And that's something that Ryan Kerrigan is being credited with helping him with. By the same token, when you look at Dallas, sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum, man, they rank pretty poorly in almost everything. Like, total offense, they're 20th. Scoring offense, they're 24th. Sacks allowed, 22nd. Rushing offense, 31st. Total defense, 27th. Scoring defense, 31st. Rushing defense, 31st. The two categories that you kind of look at, they do pass at a high rate. That's probably because they're behind a lot.
Has to be.
They're and you know, Dak can put up big numbers when he was playing. They're tied for 7. They're 240 yards a game through the air. All right. And then the other one, we touched on this just a little bit yesterday. For whatever reason, they're not horrible in third down defense. So we got to convert our third down.
This game could be over in about 2 hours and 15 minutes because you have the second and third worst rushing defenses in Washington and Dallas. Dallas is second worst. Washington's right there at third worst. Both teams give up over 150 rushing yards per game. Now, if Washington gets out to a lead, then Dallas is going to have to pass to try to get back into it. But if it's a close game, there's going to be a ton of running on both sides, I would think.
I can't get past Cooper Rush's stat line against the Eagles. So, common opponent. I know the Eagles have a great defense. We saw that against Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. Jaden didn't have his best game, probably his worst game of the season, right? Cooper Rush threw for 45 yards in a whole game.
It would be
entire game.
It would be an abject embarrassment and failure if this team loses to a Cooper Rush led Cowboys team.
They scored 6 points against the Eagles. That's it. Six.
Yeah. Just can't allow that to happen at home.
I can't get past that. Yeah, I'm kind of with Cakes. You can't let Cooper Rush beat you. No. And I know he does have that winning record somehow where they're 5-2. During his starts, but
again, go back and look at what the defenses did for him during those starts. They were holding teams like 10 and 17 points per game. This Cowboys defense can't do that.
Have to take a break. Coming up next, we're going to get into the Hayfield High School controversy. They won again last night. Some people don't think they should be playing. We'll tackle that next here on the Junkies.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of drama in Virginia high school football. I know Grant and Danny have talked about it a lot. This Hayfield football drama continues to roll on. If you're not that familiar with it, here's the deal. Hayfield High School who has a principal, Darren Thompson, and an athletic director named Monty Fritz.
I guess the athletic director's leaving.
Yes, he's leaving now. But
scandal.
They had a head coach in Saeed Aziz who took over in 2021. He took over a team that had won two games. He actually turned that around. They were atop the conference for three seasons, but they didn't have any playoff wins. So the principal and athletic director, they let go of Aziz, and they said, who can we get? And there was a guy at Freedom High School, the head coach, named Daryl Overton. He had had a lot of success there. He was like a private sports trainer, ran 7-on-7 teams.
High school's in Woodbridge.
Yes. They won the state championship in 2022, 48-14. Mm-hmm. They were undefeated in 2023. In 9 years, he touts 50 players going on to play college football. I think it's Division I football, but that's a lot of players when most schools are lucky to get one. Mm-hmm. So Thompson and Fritz hire Overton after they fire Aziz. They manage to give him some sort of a security job. I think he's a security supervisor for the school where he's making like $58,000. All of the coaches from Freedom High School also followed. His brother got a teaching assistant job.
Yep. And multiple players, like 14 players, also transferred.
Right. And then the players,
that's the deal. How can you transfer?
Before they even transfer cakes, they started having spring practices. Mm-hmm. And people said that these players who were still at Freedom High School started showing up in the hallways at Hayfield High School and in the weight room. And then there's a little controversy in the summer before the season starts. They do an investigation because, like you said, now these players start transferring. One kid from St. John's, another kid from Dematha, kids from all over start transferring to Hayfield High School.
Hilarious.
The superintendent, Michelle Reed, got involved in June. So this is before the fall football season. They did some sort of an investigation, and she refuted tales of improper transfers and fake addresses. Now, I was reading one of these town halls. One of the guys said, what are the odds that 15 kids move to the same neighborhood?
Yeah. This seems like shenanigans are
afoot. I don't even know what to say about this.
And then they start playing, and they start destroying the public school teams. Mm-hmm. They played Riverdale Baptist, a private school team, and Riverdale Baptist actually beat them. All right? That's why the public schools don't play the private schools, because the private schools can recruit and get these top players. Well, in Virginia, recruiting is not allowed at Virginia public schools. Hayfield High School, the coach, their claim is, well, these players transferred legally. And they live here, and there's nothing
untoward.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's very simple. Can you prove that these guys have addresses that live in the neighborhood?
That live within whatever specified.
And if it's like an aunt or a cousin or something, I don't know that there's much you could do about it. It is what it is. Can they prove it? You either can or you can't.
So they were going to be frozen out of the playoffs. Hayfield High School. But there's been some court proceedings, and they were allowed to play last night. Now, I see that they won against Edison 70-6, but CK sent us a text that they were up 75-0 at the half. So I don't know the exact score, but they are demolishing people. And in October, they played a game where the other team was down so big that the head coach just decided to take delay of game penalties on every play. And Hayfield was upset. They're like, this isn't fun for our kids. They only get to run three offensive plays in the half.
Okay, but what was the lead at that point? My counter, if I'm the coach who's getting my brains beaten in, I would say, you know what? Sorry your kids aren't having fun. All these kids that you recruited to get an unfair advantage against my kids, we're playing it straight. Like, sorry, you're not getting to run all the plays you want to beat us 100-0.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. So that was October 4th. So it wasn't that long ago. They played Falls Church. Hayfield was up 21-0 after two offensive plays from scrimmage.
Right.
They recovered a Falls Church fumble in the end zone. That's one touchdown. Mm-hmm. And then they had another defensive touchdown, which was negated by penalty. I mean, they score on every play.
Look,
it's unbelievable.
If you play by the rules and you have a team that's going to go out and just mow over another team, that's fine. That's the way high school sports work sometimes. Sometimes you're just up against a better opponent. But if you have a bunch of kids who were at a previous school together and then all of a sudden they're showing up at informal workouts, they're in your weight room all of a sudden, and they're not even registered at the school or don't have addresses that correspond to that school, I'm sorry, that's crossing the line. That's cheating. And that should be dealt with. That team should be sidelined, in my opinion.
Yeah, these kids. What if they're all valid? Let me just be the villain here. Okay, let me be the villain.
Sure.
Let me take their side. What if they all have addresses?
They live with a cousin. All of a sudden, they've gone to Liberty for 2 or 3 years, and then all of a sudden,
Got a condo.
Then in mass, they all show up. It's not one or two kids. It's
15 of them.
14 transferred from one school.
Parents just said, you know what? I want my kid to go play D1. We're just gonna get a condo here.
For the most part, high school sports is not supposed to be about beating your opponent 80-0.
I agree.
It's supposed to be about teaching kids character, being part of a team, the values of both winning and losing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not supposed to be, we're going to assemble a super team and we're going to skirt the rules and just beat every team by 50
points. I agree. But what if they're not skirting the rules?
They're skirting the rules.
What if they're not? How could you not?
I know what you're saying.
What if they just
have addresses? Like they found the loophole to put down the address.
Or somebody lives there. They got a relative, or they just rented a condo for 6 months.
I think we can all agree they're violating the spirit of what high school sports is generally supposed to be,
especially at the public schools. It has a feel of what Deion Sanders did at Colorado. Right? Because part of the story, too, is the kids that were at Hayfield High School. And look, nothing is given to you. But they had a quarterback who the head coach said, you're going to be the face of the program.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even try out for the team this year because all the guys from Freedom came over and the coach came over. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm done. I'm out. Right. I'm on the outs.
Got pushed
out. And that reminds me of what happened in Colorado. Now, it's allowed in college football with the transfer portal and everything, but you're a Division I athlete. You signed to play at Colorado. Your team stinks, but mm-hmm. you're playing. All of a sudden, they hire a new coach, and then you got to find a new place to play.
Can I be a radical?
And these are high school players.
Can I be radical? I think they should just allow recruiting in the public schools. It's allowed in the private schools.
I disagree with that because some schools just have inherent advantages, like facilities-wise and size-wise, over the others. Like, you're going to let a school with 2,500 kids go recruit against a high school with 1,000 kids just already?
Well, I think recruiting would mitigate that. I think recruiting would give...
Not really.
First of all, aren't you based on the size of your school? I'm not familiar with public school stuff. But isn't your class based on
how big the school
is?
Yeah, you're designated.
So you're not really having a 1,000-person school competing against 2,500.
Yeah, there's like there's 3A, 4A, 5A, 6A. It's all based on the size of the school.
So why not just let recruit? I mean, it happens in private school. It happens everywhere else in the world. I'll put it this way. Two of my kids went to private school. One of my kids, Meg, who's at Cornell, went to public school. Her first 2 years in high school, we had like state championship quality volleyball. The last 2 years, the bulk of the team graduated. We were the pits. It sucked. I wanted to recruit. Why not recruit? I don't know. I think recruiting's fine.
Against the rules for public school.
I know it is. I'd like to change the
rules. You're a brainwashed private school kid.
I'm a private school guy.
The public schools take pride in winning from your kids from your neighborhood. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I think, by the way, high school sports are dying also. Now, football's the one where it will never die because they don't have really club, but it's dying in everything else. If you're an elite soccer player, elite whatever, you a lot of times they don't even let you play in high school. High school sports are dying.
Here's what people are upset by.
Most kids aren't elite, though.
The head coach may be a great coach. All right, Daryl Overton. won championships at Freedom, and now he's got this team at Hayfield that's dominant. But it's pretty obvious they've cheated.
What if they didn't?
There are current rules, EB, it defies logic, that all these kids would end up in the same neighborhood.
No, obviously they recruited them.
You know their way to skirt the rules.
They obviously recruited them, but what if they then got condos or something? I don't even know.
Well, that just sounds
shady. I mean, no doubt they were recruited and followed their coach.
Yeah, but by the letter of the law, it can be all above board.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly wanted to follow the program.
Yeah.
But the cheating is recruiting. He recruited these guys.
Okay. I'm not going to argue. He did.
I don't know what the investigation was. I don't know if they looked at the address and they knock on doors and they see if the kid's actually there. Because there are tales from parents that these guys are driving all over the place just to get to Hayfield High School.
Right.
You went to a high school. You know this one. Joe Gibbs' son lived in a hotel so that he could play for DeMatha football.
I'm used to recruiting.
But again, that's a private school, so that's completely different.
All right, sneak in a couple phone calls.
Two of my kids are recruited to high school.
All right, let's go. Where are we going to go?
Let's go to John.
You have so many mouses over there.
I'm sorry.
John, what's up, buddy?
Guys, how we doing? You guys are great. Love listening to you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, listen, there's a process that goes on in Fairfax County with kids being moved to different schools. There's an entire vetting process that has to go on. Kids have to register. They have to show appropriate documentation about where they live, provide bills, all the rest of it. Then there's an eligibility process that is different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an academic portion of that eligibility, but then there's also a residency issue, and then there's also a guardianship issue.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to live with your guardian, your legal guardian, and that's part of the other issue that's going on here at Hayfield. Listen, guys, they're cheating across the board. And this is going to go higher than just their coach.
So do you think that maybe they fulfill some of it, but they're just not like living in those addresses that they're giving? Like they might be legit addresses, like a family member or something, but they're not living there.
There's all kinds of speculation on that. There are people that saying that they've been offered money to give their address for the paperwork purposes.
Right.
You know, are there some kids that are living in those homes? Potentially. But the odds of all those kids leaving the same school that the coach was at, going to a new neighborhood, all being registered properly, eligible properly. Oh, they just happen to be football players. And oh, by the way, they happen to be really good football players.
Yeah, thank you, John. It's not even just the Freedom players. I mentioned kid from DeMatha, the kid from St. John's. You don't think they were recruited?
No, I don't doubt they were recruited.
They had commits, guys who had already committed to Clemson and Virginia Tech, who, I mean, they already...
I mean, you could
committed.
They probably recruited verbally and said, hey, come with me. But also, they probably also, there's a part that some that could just chase that coach, just want to play for that coach.
Yeah.
Because they know it's a high quality program.
Yep. And he coached some of them in 7-on-7 from you know, young ages. 800-636-1067. Come back, take more of your calls next here on the Junkies.
Looking to upgrade your office game? Swing by PVI Office Furniture, where we've got everything you need to take your workspace from the bench straight to the big leagues. Whether you're drafting up the next great idea or just need a power play when it comes to comfort, PVI has the perfect lineup of desks, chairs, and accessories. Mention the Fan and you'll score 15% off your in-store purchase. Don't miss your shot. Hit the ice at PVI Office Furniture today and elevate your workspace like a true champion. PVI Office Furniture, where productivity nets you a hat trick. Visit us at PVI.com because business grows with PVI.
All right, we're talking about this Hayfield High School controversy. So they beat Edison, I think, 70-6 in the regular season.
Yeah.
Then it was 75-0, according to CK, at halftime last night. I don't know what the final score was, so you might be right on the final score.
75-7.
Okay. They're just smashing people, which I think also upsets people.
Of course.
But the story, as we said, is all these players followed this coach, Daryl Overton, to Hayfield High School. Players from other schools as well joined the team. They're smashing the competition.
If it's being done the right way and one team X is just better than team Y, that happens all the time. Like we all have kids who played high school sports. EB has kids who play college sports. Sometimes you just know you're walking into the lion's den. But as long as they're doing it the right way and legally, and the kids live in the neighborhood and they're not all living in a flop house together or whatever, renting condos, I'm not saying all of that's happening, but as long as it's done the right way, that's fine. You can live with that. But when 14 kids all of a sudden uproot from one school to the new school in Hayfield and other recruits are coming in and there's questions about it, like, that's it just taints and stains the whole purpose of playing high school sports,
it stinks.
In my opinion.
Valdez got a text from somebody who said that some of these players, this is the loophole, EB, they claim they're homeless. And so Fairfax County can't, I guess, they can't stop them from going to these schools if they claim homelessness.
Right. Okay, this cracks me up. That's a terrible loophole that needs to be looked into and rectified.
All right, let's sneak in a couple phone calls. People are passionate about this.
I'm pro-recruiting. I've been involved in recruiting for years on a high school level, so I don't know. It sucks, I guess. It definitely would suck if I had to, you know, I live in an area where...
Well, you just want a level playing field. So in the private schools, if they're allowed to recruit, everybody's recruiting. Everybody has the same ability to do it. But public schools, you're not allowed to do that.
I understand. That's why I'm thinking... Listen, weed's legal now. Gambling's legal. Let's just make recruiting legal. NIL's everywhere. Kids get paid in high school. Let's just open up recruiting in public school. Why not? I don't know. I guess I'm just waving a white flag. Let's go to John in McLean. John, what's up?
Oh. Hey, guys.
What's up?
This is nuts. I mean, the coach should be fired. It's symptomatic of a larger problem with youth sports. I mean, it's winning at all costs. It makes no sense. I'm guessing these are real scholar athletes transferring to Hayfield. They've lost sight of what the purpose of a school is. It's education.
Yeah, I don't know how these kids are students. And there was an article by Dave McKenna. I think one of the students was going to MIT or something like that, or MIT, University of Chicago. So I don't want to presume that none of them are students. But they all want to play football for Coach Overton. That's for sure.
I don't know if they're... Yeah, they could be scholar athletes.
Well, that's a wild accusation.
I mean, yeah. My daughter just made all academic Ivy. I'm very proud of
her.
Very
nice.
There is such a thing.
Good accomplishment.
Who knows? Those kids may be good students, but they might, you know, they might just want to follow a great program. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Randy in Fairfax.
But you still have to follow the rules to do it.
I agree.
And the accusations are that they skirted the rules, although in the initial investigation... The superintendent couldn't find any proof of illegal transfers.
Right. Randy, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Good
How
morning.
You doing?
Hey. What's up?
Hey, I look at this from a couple of different angles. I heard people talk about the kids transferring from private schools. Well, what if the kid lives in the private school? They're already zoned for that particular school, but they don't like the school. So they choose the option to go to the private school. Now they have a coach that they know that people have heard about is a name coach or what have you. They decide to transfer back to the public school that they're supposed to be going to anyway. But what people hear, all they hear is, oh, he's transferring from DeMatha. He's transferring from St. John's.
That's true.
They're already legally there.
Those two players that were from Arlington and D.C., so one, you know, that may be the case. The problem is, as the one caller pointed out, and I think one person in one of these school board discussions says, what are the odds that 15 of the kids transfer and all from the same neighborhood?
That part I can't speak on. I don't know what, like your man said, hey, they want to follow the program. Mm-hmm. As long as it's done legally, there's nothing nobody can say or do about it. It's just an influx. When Madison does it for baseball, South County has done it. The problem is it's the number of kids.
Right.
When it's four or five kids, you can mix those in. It doesn't really matter because a lot of these programs are coming up from youth. You can mix them in. They have good feeder systems into the high schools. But when you have this amount of influx, maybe I have to go back and live with my parents. Because if you also think about it, a lot of people have moved from Fairfax County down south towards Woodbridge, Prince William County, because it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. But if you have family, hey, again, you're following this program. Can't say it's right or wrong because it was all over the newspapers and the news that he left Freedom to go to Hayfield. So everybody wants to say, oh, he jumped out there and he's recruiting. No, they helped him recruit because they made it public for him.
Yeah, trust me, you don't need the coach necessarily. Put it this way. I went to DeMatha High School, right? We had kids come from all over.
We know.
He didn't need Morgan necessarily to recruit. People came to play for Morgan.
Right.
Yeah.
People came to play for Bill McGregor.
Yes.
Right.
So it's the issue is the amount of kids. Can't say it's right or wrong as long as they did it right. It's just that it's an influx. But if my nephew wants to come live with me, okay, cool. Come on. I'm not going to stop you if you think it's going to further your education. And if education is through sports, then so be it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all some of these kids have to potentially get away from the surroundings that they're right. involved with is through
For
sports.
Sure. For sure.
Randy, appreciate your call, man. We're up against a break. I think the question, like he says, well, here's the question, but then he added another question, is did they do it the right way? And so that's where the investigations are going to be.
If they're exploiting a loophole like being homeless, that's not right. I mean, of course, I agree. That's not right. If they're saying I'm homeless, but he's not homeless, that's not right.
I think in the public schools, they just want a level playing field.
Yeah.
That's what you want. You want a level playing field that you've got all these schools playing by a certain set of rules. Then this coach comes in here and maybe it's a different set of rules. And it's not college football. So what Deion Sanders did with Colorado, a lot of people are upset because the players who were scholarship players, maybe they're a freshman, sophomore, that he inherited, they basically all got shuttled out of there.
But that's a different
that
level.
That sucks.
These are high school players.
But it's college, right? Exactly.
This is supposed to be strictly amateurs in high school. These guys aren't getting paid yet. It's not the next level of college. It's supposed to be somewhat pure. And this whole thing is tainting what's going on in Virginia high school football.
Coming up next, it's Fridays with Feinstein on The Fan.